We have with us today, as mentioned at the beginning of our program, two guests, both of whom are very well known to the Jewish community, but perhaps to our listeners who are not in the Jewish community. One is Ron Goldschlager. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Victor Meisner. Ron's probably best known in the Jewish community, amongst other things. He was the chairperson of Liebl Yavne College for a number of years, and Victor Meisner is a well-known artist within the Jewish community. And we have them as guests today as a result of quite an unusual book that we received titled The Mystery of You. And I say unusual because normally the books we're dealing with are non-fiction, and this is something quite different. It's a self-examination, I guess, for want of a better term. Perhaps, Ron, you could explain a little bit about why you've approached this particular topic and what this topic is.
Thank you, Michael. When I started with this, which is now over 12 years ago, it took 10 years to write. At the time, I didn't know I was writing a book. I just started writing, because I'm a business person, not a writer. So I just started writing things which you could say were bugging me. And particularly because my background was more scientific. I was a chemical engineer, and I came from, I mean, I'm born Jewish, but I came from an immigrant family which was traditional but not observant. So as I became more knowledgeable and more learning about Judaism, and some apparent conflicts between science and religion. That's where it started.
Now, your co-author, who's participated in the book, is Rabbi Steinsatz, who's quite a well-known rabbi. He's done some remarkable work on numerous topics, particularly in relation to the oral law and the law and interpreting it. That connection also fascinates me, and probably those that and will fascinate those that read this book. Can you just explain how the connection and that approach?
Sure. It is very unusual. I mean, today we're close. You could say we're friends. That, I mean, Rabbi Steinsatz lives in Jerusalem and he travels a lot, and I live in Melbourne. And it started by kind of a coincidental meeting during a visit he had in Melbourne, which would have been probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago. And when I heard one of his lectures, and I went up afterwards and with a bit of chutzpah and asked him a question about one of these apparent contradictions, as I mentioned, between science and religion. That's where our connection started.
And is there an answer?
There's answers to everything. That's the mystery. That's why I've called it a journey through the paradoxes of life.
Right. Perhaps you could explain to our listeners who haven't read the book yet, and hopefully will, how you've tackled such a philosophical series of issues like this. Because you could write 1,000 books and we could have 1,000 radio programs on this particular topic and never get to a final conclusion. How did you begin this process?
I think what happened was I just had this kind of a force in me, kind of a passion. I'm very much for fairness and for justice and believe in helping people, and if we can try and help people to improve their lives. And one of my concerns as a parent and today as a grandparent, and especially as an Australian, thank you, is when I see the way many people live their lives. Now, I'm not being judgmental here and I'm not being prescriptive, trying to help. And most people today, especially in the Western world, are very materialist, very materialistic. So we've got materialism, we've got the me, the now, instant gratification, all of these kinds of things we're aware of. And I think most people who are caring and thinking are concerned with what they can see happening in society. Then we see people who are looking for something more. They feel dissatisfied, whatever it is, and let's call it spirituality or lack of spirituality. So they go off on a search. They might go to Hare Krishna. They might go to the Buddhists. They might go anywhere. And that's fine, because there's a lot to learn from everybody. And we Jews, I mean, we're a people of the world. But within Yiddishkeit, within Judaism, there is so much if one wants to look for it. And There's answers to everything, but everyone has to find their own answers. But most people don't even bother looking. So I think that that's the second component. The third component, I would say, is if a person has got more than materialism and they're starting to feel some spirituality, that, in my opinion, that's not enough, because one needs a value system. You need some morals and ethics. There's good and bad. There's yeses and nos, rules and regulations. So one of my fights is I went from the science and I continue on was about behavior, people's behavior, because when you go beyond the individual and you look at the interaction between the individual and the group, obviously a person's behavior is so important. That influences everything.
What sort of reaction have you had to this book, particularly amongst your business friends and colleagues?
The reaction's actually amazing. I mean, it's new, and our launch will only be in May, and the book really only arrived here in Melbourne just before Pesach. And now, of course, I realize that I'm open to criticism, because I can get all kinds of comments, you know, I'm open. And it's been an amazing reaction. Can I divide it?
Sure.
Because we're going to come to talk with Victor in a minute, who's here with me, because Victor's art is magic. It's just so beautiful and expressive. And like you said, it's very unusual, this combination between Rabbi Steinsaltz, who is a writer and a philosopher and educator. I mean, he's written over 50 or 60 books, and the whole Talmud now, which is finished, and he's dedicated his life to Yiddishkeit and to continuity and to education. So this unusual interaction between an Australian businessman and an international philosopher. And I'm getting encouraging comments back. And I could really divide the comments from people into three major groups, if I may. Within the Jewish world, we've got a group which is more observant, whether people go to shul, whether they're more involved in Jewish life, that group. Then there's a much larger group of Jewish people who are really not so connected or not so observant, particularly a lot of younger people, or who don't believe in God, or have their own feeling of whatever their connection with Yiddishkeit is. And then there's a much larger group, which is non-Jewish people. Now, from non-Jewish people, getting fantastic feedback, and it's only just now moving more and more into the non-Jewish world, which is fantastic, because I think we as Jews are not understood. There are a lot of questions with the anti-Semitism and this organized anti-Jewish feeling that there is, an anti-Israel feeling. There's a lot of misinformation out there. So I think it's beautiful from the non-Jewish perspective to not just see something about Yiddishkeit, but the book also gives Jewish ancient wisdom, let's call it.
An insight,
but just with ancient wisdom into the contemporary issues. Can I run through the chapters before I come through?
Sure.
So divided into seven chapters, going backwards in life, because we all age, as much as we think we mightn't. So I've started from, if you like, towards the end, aging, what aging is about. And then belief in bureaucracy, which is this conflict between the individual and the group. I think a much bigger conflict today than it possibly was, although we know in shuls there were always arguments with Jews. Then I've gone on to continuity, questioning what is continuity and how, from a Jewish point of view in particular, but in general as well, continuity of what? Behavior, which I've mentioned. This is not the order it was written in. This is the order now it's edited and it's published in. Behavior is the major chapter about what's right, what's wrong, who makes the rules, these kinds of things. It's gently confronting, not prescriptive, but quite challenging. Then there's this crazy kind of a chapter I call Water, Life and Numbers, which I let people read for themselves. Happiness, which is probably the biggest thing everybody talks about. What's happiness? And then the religion or science or religion. There's an afterword, and then like all Jews, you know, we always have something more to say. And I then wrote, because of my discussions with Victor and the art, and this was just over 2 years ago when this whole thing fell together as a book, then wrote what's probably the ultimate philosophical question of good and evil, or the devil, is the confrontation, what we call in Hebrew the Yetzer Hara, which is the evil inclination, the Yetzer Tov, the good inclination. So, and that finishes in a poem, and then it moves to the rabbi's part.
Right. You mentioned Victor just then, and Victor's here with us as well, and he's well known, as I said before, as an artist within our community. You've had numerous exhibitions, and you've had your work published also, I believe. Now, I've looked at the artwork in the book, and as you've said, Ron, it is quite amazing. But what perhaps you could explain to the listeners how you approach preparing artwork on a book on this kind of a philosophical approach, is it give your task an easier task, or does it create other sorts of thoughts that
it's an interesting question. Awkward? One of the things that intrigued me about this particular project was when I started reading Ron's writing in manuscript form. The first time I read them, I could not put it down. I thought the manuscript was so challenging and so enticing. And the thing that intrigued me about Ron's writing was his depth of intent as far as Jewish content is concerned, Jewish philosophical content, if you like. One of my preoccupations, one of my passions over the last 20 years at least, has been to elevate Jewish art to a kind of world standard. And one of the things that I enjoyed about Ron's writing, or another thing that I enjoyed, was his worldview. It wasn't just a kind of ghettoized view of Judaism, but it was a worldview of Judaism. And in a way, what challenged some of the imagery was that blend between a kind of mystical, philosophical, practical, if you like, combination or contrast, but at the same time, purely from a Jewish perspective. And that's what, in a sense, enticed me to the project. And I think what my work does in relation to Ron's, it kind of celebrates Judaism as not just a religion, but as a kind of way of being. So Ron's writing is very personal, it's very autobiographical in many ways, but at the same time it addresses broader issues. And in a sense, my work is very similar. It's very autobiographical in the sense of who I am, what I am, but at the same time it deals with a Jewish perspective about world ideas.
Let me start with picture number one, and it's titled Me. Why me as the first picture?
Well, this was always going to be the cover of the book.
Yep.
In a sense, it's kind of quintessential to the whole idea of the book. The book is called The Mystery of You. And The Mystery of You, I guess, in my estimation, deals with the idea of the ego and the superego. So the way that I approached it was that the background of the painting is to do with sea, water. Water is a kind of metaphor for Torah, if you like. But it's also a metaphor for endlessness, for infinity, in a sense. And in a way, we all feel very small little beings in amongst this kind of sea of life. So I painted this idea of the superego, this me, almost like a monumental, if you like, core of this coat. The coat is a symbol of spirituality, I guess. It's a kind of garment that is often referred to in the Torah of godliness. So the me is this core of humanity. The core is made out of exactly the same stuff as the background of water. And if you notice very carefully, in the me, there is a little figure that is almost floating, well, not almost, but it's floating in the water. It's that individual everyman. In a sense, it's Ron. I mean, he was the person that I had in mind when I painted it, with this idea of the mystery being both inside and outside of ourselves. So it's a painting that kind of encapsulates what the book is about, but at the same time, it's also very much a statement about the fragility of the individual.
You've rather beautifully described a painting. One of the disadvantages of radio is that people can't actually see what it is that we're talking about, but I think you've painted a brilliant word picture of the cover of the book. And there are many illustrations in the book, and I encourage people to go through them very carefully for the very reason that you've just described. They're not just a picture. There's a purpose in each of the artworks that you've done. And again, we'd have to have 1,000 radio programs to go through each picture and go through the meaning of them. Now, Ron, I did want to ask you an odd question. Now that you've written the book and you've had some reaction, but it's still early days. Is there anything you wish you had done differently?
Mark, that's a very good question, because I'm a person who's very self-critical. And if I write something at work, whatever, I'm always looking for spelling mistakes or printing mistakes or what I could add or say. I've got to say, it's changed me. And I feel very complete and very content with this. I was just overseas recently. I took it with me to read it as a reader and not as a writer. And I'm embarrassed, I'm supposed to say, because it's, I mean, I've been involved with it. I loved it. I really enjoyed reading it as a reader. I mean, originally, I had called it Me, Myself, So What, which was a bit bit chutzpidic, you know, which was about the reader, not the writer. And through the publisher Hybrid, they changed it to The Mystery of You, A Journey Through the Paradoxes of Life. And now I'm very, very content and very complete with it.
Right. And the process of writing and, in fact, publishing a book, what surprised you about the publishing side of this, if anything?
Publishing
was meet your expectations or your preconceived ideas about what it is that was going to happen?
Another interesting question, because when I was in writing mode, in the creative mode, I was lost in that world, and it wasn't concerning publishing or commerciality. My personality, I like sharing, and you know, we're a charitable family, we like helping people, and all the proceeds of this book and from the author's process are going to charities anyway. So once it was complete, we needed to publish, and there were a number of publishers who were interested. I mean, it's a whole process in itself to find them, so I won't waste time on that. But in Israel, the Steinsaltz institutions, which do a lot of publishing, warned me how important it is to choose a publisher with passion, like I've got. So, and that was the search. And through Zev in Sunflower Bookstore, I need to single out Zev, he's a beautiful man, and I hope you're listening, Zev. Hello, Zev. I don't think he is. He's probably busy in the shop. Is Zev introduced me to Hybrid, which is a Melbourne publisher. Amazing, amazing people. And with Hybrid, they've put a lot of love and care in. And Anna, who's done re-editing, etc., and Louis, who's been involved in every step and still is. So not only have they brought this to the beautiful way it looks, but also in terms of its distribution.
Which leads me to an important question. How do we get a copy of the book?
The book's available in retail shops at the moment in the Jewish part of the world, and there was an ad in the Jewish News which gave shops, and I don't want to leave shops out, and there's quite a few have got it, but Gold's Bookstore, which is well known, just off Carlisle Street, Antique Silver Shop are keeping some, opposite Glick's. Sunflower, who are amazing people, Zev, which is opposite Coles in Glen Huntly Road, and there are others. And in Glenfrey Road, there's non-Jewish bookshops, Jeffrey's, Books in Print. Readings have now put it on their list. Now, the easiest way to find it, if that's not convenient for people, is if people know to use the computer, they can Google. We have a website called mysteryofyou.com, and they can get it through there to find it. It can be mailed out, like they can telephone or email order. A Hybrid, H-Y-B-R-I-D, they have their own website, one can go through them. Or people could just go to their local bookstore, anywhere in Australia, and they can ask for it. And Dennis Jones and Associates, which is a very, very long-established major distributor of books nationally, and they're the distributors. And if a bookstore will order it, Dennis Jones will send it. It arrives there within a very short time.
Right. Now, you've got a book launch coming up on the 9th of May, I believe?
Yes.
I guess you're excited about that. And you've got Mark Liebler and Rabbi Genende there. What do you do at a book launch? What are you expecting to be at a... You've probably been to book launches before. How do you expect this one to go?
And look, for me, I think, and for Victor and me, the rabbi won't be here in time for this. I think for us it's just going to be a very happy occasion. We're sort of more warm personal people. It launches by invitation. There'll be a few drinks and some finger food, and then a few short talks, and it should just be a very happy occasion.
The clock is ticking, unfortunately, on the wall up there, and we're going to have to switch to the Japanese program shortly. So, Ron, thank you for coming in, and Victor, thank you for coming in also.
Thank you for having us.
And I strongly recommend people go out and get a copy of this book, however you can, either purchase it or borrow it. I won't say steal it, but it's certainly worth reading and thinking about, because I think that's what it's all about, and that's what I think you're trying to do, is make people think on these sorts of topics that many of us probably don't think about too much in our hectic things we do from day to day. So thanks for coming in.
Michael, thank you very much for inviting us.